Today's shiur is being dedicated by Dr. Yosef and Mr. Yael Gurevich in honor of their grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Moshe Rubin. Today's shiur is also a schus for refuah shleima, for shalom and bracha. Today's shiur is Masechet Ksubos, Daf Samech Dalet, and we will begin on Daf Samech Dalet, Amar Aleph, seven lines from the top. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Tuvi Bakisna Amar Shmuel. As we have been discussing, different situations where a wife is not keeping up with the obligations she has towards her husband, and situations where the husband is not keeping up with the obligations that he has to his wife. So says the Gemara that if a kaiser, a geris married al arusa, as we've learned many times in our shiur, in the time of Chazal, marriage was done in two stages. First there was the erusin, and then there was the nesuin. And our Gemara teaches us, and typically there was a year in between the erusin and the nesuin. And our Gemara teaches us that if the time for the nesuin comes, and she doesn't want to get married, the woman, the arusa, refuses to get married, so we write in the geris merit. Then geris merit, al shemaris shavim. But if the time, if a woman is supposed to be have yibum and she refuses to have the yibum, that's not a cause to write a negaris merit. Meisvei asked the Gemara. We learned in a brisa achasli arusa nesua, whether the woman is an arusa who refuses to get married, or a nesua, or a filu nida, a filu chayla, the filah shemer shavam, all of these women have that halacha that we learned in our Mishnah, that if they are refusing to do what they're supposed to do, we deduct from the ksuba. So clearly, ask the Gemara, isn't this an indication that we do write a geris mered on behalf in all these situations for shemer shavam, not like we just learned at the beginning? Answers the Gemara like kasha. Can the brisa that says that she's considered a meredis when she's a shemeris yavam, shetavahu, he asked her that he wants to do yibum, and she refuses. That's why she's considered a meredis, and we deduct from her ksuba, and we write an egeris merit. Can the gemara that we began today shear with, that Shmuel said that we don't write an egeris merit on a shemeris yavam, and that she's not considered a meredis, shetavi he. She wants to get married, and he doesn't want to, and that's not considered a situation as if he's a meired that we should add to the ksuba. Why? Damrav tachlifa baravim yam shmu, tava hu, if he asked the wife, the yuvama, that he wants to get married, and she doesn't want to, niskakan loy, that's when we're going to write and a geris merit, that's when we're going to deduct from a ksuba. Avatavi he, if she's the one that requested to get yibum, and he doesn't want, ainis kakin law, that's not considered as if he's being moired in here, in her, and we don't add to her ksuba. Ask the Gemara. B'maikum del hada Shmuel. So how have we explained Shmuel's halacha, that we don't write an egeris merit on a yavam? Shetavi he, she wanted to get married, and he doesn't want to, and that's when we don't write. That's when we say that we write geris merit. So high kaiser merit al arusa le arusa mebele. And again, if we're saying that the case of Shmuel is that we don't write a geris merit on a yavama, it's talking about a case where she's requesting the yibum and he's refusing. So then the wording is difficult. Hai kaisen geris merit al arusa, le arusa mebayalei. The halacha Shmuel should have said that on behalf of an arusa, we do write, and on behalf of yavama, we don't write. Says the Gemara, halei kasha. That if that's your entire problem with what Shmuel said, I'll change the wording. We'll amend the wording of what Shmuel said. Tani la rusa. We're speaking here by writing an Ageras Merid on behalf of an Arusa, which we began our shiur today learning that on behalf of an Arusa, we do write in on behalf of an Arusa, we do write in Ageras Merid on behalf of an Nesua, we don't write in Ageras Merid. But now ask the Gemara, Maishna Shemeres Yovim Deloy. But now we need Taka to understand why if she's requesting Yibam, and he's refusing to do the Yibam, do we not write the Geres Merit? Because, says the Gemara, the reasoning is, that Minala, we tell her, Zil, Lai Mafkadis, you're not obligated to have children. And since you're not obligated to have children, that's why we're not obligated to the husband, if he doesn't want to do the Yavam, if he doesn't want to do the Yibam, is not considered a Merit. So if that's the case, if the request is coming from the wife's side, we don't take it as seriously because they don't have the mitzvah, a puravu. So why don't we say the same thing by an oru tsunami? Leimala, when she comes and says, I want to have the nesuin, let's tell her, zil, loy mafkadis. You're not obligated. So, of course, the Rishonim ask the obvious question. We learned in the Mishnah that there is a concept of a moirid, that a husband is a moirid in his wife. But if our Gemara is now introducing that since the woman is not obligated in the mitzvah pura rivia, that's why her situation is very different than her husband's situation, so then why in the Mishnah does the Mishnah speak about a man being a moirid? So the Rashban, the Ritva, say that our Mishnah, they're already married. And once a couple gets married, the wife has obligations to the husband has obligations to the wife, and if either party does not meet the obligations, that's when they're considered a moirid or meredis. Here we're speaking about where they're not married yet. Since they're not married, so a husband can make demands of the wife. I want to get married. I want to fulfill my mitzvah, pura revu. But the wife can't make those demands of the husband because she's not obligated in the mitzvah puravu. Ella, says the Gemara, the way to understand what Shmuel said is talking about that we do write an Ageres Merid on behalf of an Arusa, says the Gemara, about Haba Machmas Taina. She has a claim because she says that even though, as we're learning, she's not obligated in the mitzvah puravu, but she says, I want to have children, being a chutral yada moral kfura. I want to have people to help me when I'm old. I want to have people who will bury me when I pass away. Chutral yada means a stick for a hand, a child who can help her when she can't walk so easily herself anymore. A moral kfura, a shovel to be buried with. And that's why we write an Ageres Merit if the husband refuses to do Nesu'in. Says the Gemara, if that's a valid claim, so Achanami, a Shemeres Yavam could have the same claim as well. Shemeres Yavam could come B'mor Machas Taina, that she says, I want to have a son who I want to be able to have children who will help me. So the Gemara's question is back to where we started. Why did Shmuel, at the beginning of our shir, differentiate between the Arusa who wants to have Nesu'in, that we write an Ageres Merid on her behalf, and the Shemeres Yavam that we don't. In fact, I saw that the Sefer Chashukei Hemet asks if there's a couple who's married and they did not, unfortunately, have children. And she comes to Beis Din, she says that she wants to have children, and since they don't have children, I want to get divorced. And the husband doesn't have that claim. Is it a valid claim that a wife can make? So the Aruch HaShulchan in Evan Ezer, Simen Kuf Nun Dalid, Sif Mem Ches, says, based on the Rambam, if a woman comes and requests a divorce after 10 years of marriage, because unfortunately they didn't have children, we accept her claim. even though she doesn't have a mitzvah, a peer review, so her claim that I want to have children to fulfill the mitzvah isn't there, because as we just learned in our Gemara, says the Aruch HaShulchan, Tzricha hi bonam l'zaknusa. She wants to have children. She wants to have children for the reason that we just learned in the Gemara, and says, Hainagam b'tan stam, she writes to be yelled. And even if she doesn't add, says the Aruch HaShulchan, these reasonings, she just says, I want to have children, says the Aruch HaShulchan, maspik l'chai beget. That's enough of a reason. And the Aruch HaShulchan takes a step further. Even though she didn't give the reasons that Al Gamar just gave, she just said she wants to have children, and we can make an argument that a woman is not mechuyev to have children. The halacha here is that she is her claim is accepted. Ramosha and the Shas Tshuvas Egris Ramosha, Evan Ezer Chelik Dalad Simid Yud Gimel says ze poshet shekol isha roitzel halibonim. Every woman wants to have children. It's a terrible issue. And Uvad, says Ramosha, it's obvious to every person that everybody wants to have children. Says Ramosha, we know from the Mos and Fechana, how much they wanted to have children. The Kalalimut says Ramosha, she Adam she ain't lebanim chashiv kameis. We learn that a person without children is considered as if he's not alive. Says the Gemara, says Ramosha, we learn that Yalaf Larish Shlokish ben the Dorim, Relev Zerushu ben Levi ben the Dorim, Mirocho, Shama Havili Ban Vaim Mesa and Nachi. So even though, says Ramosha, that the woman is not Mechuyiv and Mitzvah Puruvu, and the woman didn't claim the explanation that Al Gemara just gave, says the Gemara, the fact that she wants children is a natural and accepted request, and it's accepted that we recognize, the Bezin recognizes, to want to get. So then, Ramosha says that the husband says, yes, I understand you want to have children. Unfortunately, we don't have the ability to have children. To what would be halacha if the husband says that I want, we'll adapt, so you'll have a child in the house. So Chshukei Chemet says that even though we know Chazal teach us that kala migali yosim toif besoy malalov kasuv kiliyodoy, if you raise a yosim, it's as if he's your child. But says the Chshukei Chemet, it's still not the same. An adopted child is not necessarily always the same as a real child. And the questions, one of the reasons, and that could be part of what the Gemara means, he suggests, that wanting to have children, if somebody wants to have children, who could say Kaddish when they're no longer here. And an adopted child saying Kaddish is not such a simple Shaila, and therefore he claims that even in those circumstances where the husband is willing to adapt, the wife's claim that she wants to have children is accepted as a valid claim, and they is accepted as a valid claim to get a get. Continues the Gemara. El Idi V'Idi, says the Gemara, the Braisa that speaks about the Shemeres Yovam being a Meredes, and the case of Shmuel, that the Shemeres Yovam is not considered a Meredes, is Shetavahu, the way he wants to get married. V'loy Kasha, the Braisa that says that she's not a Meredes, is where he wants, the husband, the Yavam, wants to do Chalitza, and she says, I want to get Yibam. The Khan, Shmuel speaking about a case where the Yavam, and she only wants Chalitza. Tava Lachmet, if the Yavam wants to do Chalitza, Niskakim Loi, we listen to what he wants, and she refuses to have Chalitza, holding out because she says, I want to have Yibum. That's not considered a legitimate argument. And if she doesn't have the Chalitza, she's considered a Meredes, the Skakin Loi, and we'll write a Negeris Mered on her. Tova, the Yavim, but he wants to do Yibam, and she says, I only want to do Chalitza, ain't niskaken la. She's not considered a meredis, because we're now going, says Rashi, according to the opinion that Chalitza is preferable over Yibam, and therefore, when she says, I want to have Chalitza, and he says, no, I want to have Yibum, that's not considered a valid claim, because she is right in requesting Chalitza. And the Gemara explains itself. Maishna, why in the case, Liyabim Deloy, when he requested Yibum, and she said, I want Chalitza, why is that not considered a case of Meredis? Damrinale, says the Gemara, because we tell him, Zilva nitasev nasiv itasachriti. Go marry a different woman. You want to get married? Go marry a different woman. So Ritva asks a question. We just learned before in our shir that Arusa said, right in the Geras married. Why by an Arusa does the Brisa say that if he wants to do the Erisin and she refuses, we write in the Geras married? Why don't we tell him, go marry a different woman? So answers the Ritva that the answer is very obvious. In a case where she says, go write, in a case where he says, where they already had Erisin, so there, he chose this wife. And at that point, there's no other woman that's going to get married to him until he either marries her. And moreover, says the Ritva, he chose that wife. He wants this wife. By Yivama, he didn't choose the Yivama. The Gemara often uses the statement, Min Hashamayim Hiknuloi. He didn't choose her, and therefore you can't compare the two cases. Ask the Gemara, if that's the case, Lach Letznami, the Shemeres Yavam, that she wants to do Chalitza, namely, and she wants Chalitza, and he does Yibam, why? She's not a meredis because namely zil nesev achetes achrisa. You could marry another one. You're not. She's not a meredis by refusing to do chalitza because you want to get married. You can marry, says the Gemara El Omar. Why is that not an answer? Because he says as long as I have a yavama attached to me, dama kiven dagidabi. Since I have this Yivam attached to me, like Kayavali Achriti, no one else is going to want to marry here, me. So says the Marv, if that's the case, when she's in Arusa, if that's the case, like Hachnami, Kivin Dagidabe, Layavali Achriti. Elevi Edi says the Gemara, both in the Brisa, where the Brisa says that a Shemeres Yavam we light and a Geras married, and Shmuel says that we don't write in a Geras married, is talking about Shetovali Yavam. He wants to do Yibam. So why is there a difference between the Brisa and Shmuel? That Shmuel says we don't write any Geras Merid, and the Brisa says we do. Kam Mishnah Achrayna. This is the Brisa is going according to the Mishnah Achrayna, and Shmuel is going according to the Mishnah Achrayna. The Tanan, as we learned, Mitzvah Mishnah Masechta Yevamos Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph. Mitzvah Yibam Kaidim Mitzvah Chalitza. The mitzvah Yibam is preferable to the mitzvah of Yibam. Mitzvah Yibam is preferable to the mitzvah Chalitza. And the reason is very simple. Because the whole purpose of the mitzvah of Yibam is l'hokim shem l'achiv, to help the brother name be reestablished. If that's the purpose of the mitzvah Yibam, so of course he should do Yibam. And says the Mishnah further, B'shayin Hashem is kavon shem mitzvah. Originally, when a Yavam had relations with his Yavama, because as we learned very extensively when we learned Masechta Yevamos, if we think about every mitzvah Yibam, it's a situation of an Eishes Ach. So at the beginning, when they were in Chavon L'Shem Mitzvah, that's what should be done. However, Achshish Eim is Chavon L'Shem Mitzvah, but now that's not the people's intention, and since it's not the people who have the proper intention, there's a concern that this may be a situation of Eishes Ach, a very serious erva. Amru, mitzvah chalitza kedemus l'mitzvah yibam. So now it's understandable. If the brother-in-law wants to do yibam, which represents such a important mitzvah, So of course, that's what should be done. But now it's not what we want done anymore. At this point, Chazal said, let's preferably do chalitza. So when the brother-in-law wants to do yibum and she declines and says, let's do chalitza, Shmuel says, we don't write in the geris merit. So we learned in the Mishnah, ad masay paichis, how much do we deduct until if she is being a meredis, until the entire value of the ksuba. And furthermore, if he is a meired on his wife, we discussed how much do we continue adding, says the Gemara, add till three tapikim. The Tanakhama said 3 dinarim a week, and Yehuda said 3 tapikin a week. Ask the Gemara, my tapikin, what is meant by tapikin? Amrav Sheshes, astira, the kama astira. So ask the Gemara immediately, what does that mean? Says the Gemara, palga de zuza. A half a zuz is the shear of an astira. And the way the calculation goes is, in every seller tzuri, there are 4 zuzim, or 4 dinarim. Each zuz has in it 6 mol. A seller medina is worth half of a zuz tzuri. That means it has 3 mol. That means it's an eighth of a seller tzuri. Kesef tzuri is the money that goes out, that was used in tzuri. And that's how it's much better because the coins in the time of Chazal were based on the amount of metal, silver, or whatever in the coin. And this was a pure silver coin. Nastira was a coin that was used in Bavel. Tayanami Haki, Avudama Shlosha Tapakin, we add every week to the ksuba of a wife whose husband is a moirid in her 3 tapikin, shein toisha mamun, which are 9 mon, ma v'chetzil chol yoyin. Amo Rebchi ba yoyis l'shmul, maishna ihu, why the husband, when we deduct from the ksuba of a meredes, we take 7 dinarim, or 7 tapikim a week. That means for every day of the week, we deduct either a dinner or a tapik. The Avina Loi the Shabbos. That means we think about Shabbos as well. But ask the Gemara, Maishnai, why when we speak about the wife, the Yol Avina the Shabbos? We only give towards 6 days, not for Shabbos. Answers the Gemara. E the Mefchus Kapachus, by the wife, we're not adding, it's deducting. Since we're deducting, Loi Mechzik Tzcha Shabbos, when we deduct from something, it doesn't look like it's like somebody is earning money on Shabbos. Iu, but what we do by the husband who's a married, to kamaisa kamaisas, we're adding to every day. Where we're adding to every day, mechzik tzcha Shabbos. The Rishonim ask that the Gemara Masechta Baba Metzia teaches us that if somebody hires a worker for a month, and he works every day of the week, we're allowed to pay him, even if he works, of course, if it doesn't involve Chil Shabbos, for what he did on Shabbos. And it's not considered Schar Shabbos. It's not considered as if he's earning money on Shabbos, because he's earning it by Havlah. He doesn't get paid for the Shabbos work. He gets paid for the month's work, and in the month's work, there were days of Shabbos. So Tosfos answers that the knas, the way the knas is structured, as we've been learning in our Gemara, the knas is structured on a daily basis. Since the knas is structured on a daily basis, not on a weekly basis or a monthly basis, that can't be considered havlah. And that's why we have a concern of Schar Shabbos. And Rashi explains what's the issue of Schar Shabbos, because we're concerned of Mekech u'Memker. One is not supposed to do business on Shabbos. The other explained that it's Uvda D'chol. Somebody earning money on Shabbos looks like a Uvda D'chol. So the Magen Avraham points out, based on this Gemara, that we see that you're not allowed to earn money for Shabbos itself. Says the Magen Avraham in Siman Shin Vav Sif Katan Zayin that if somebody has money in a bank or wherever, and he gets paid on a daily basis, there may be a concern, as our Gemara just indicated, of Schar Shabbos, because he's earning money on a daily basis. So he says that the way it should be structured that it's not paid on a daily basis, it's paid on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. Even though I did say Paiskum that suggests that even if the interest is paid on a daily basis, it's not necessarily always going to be an issue, because the calculation of interest by the banks is done on a 12 a.m. Friday night to 12 a.m. Saturday night. Now, Saturday night, Shabbos is over before 12 a.m. So it turns out that he's not earning money from Shabbos. And since he's not earning money from Shabbos, that's why it's not considered a case of Schar Shabbos. Where would it be a problem? It would be a problem in a case where somebody is earning money on a two-day yontif, where even if the interest is paid, if it's paid on a daily basis, it's being paid, you could have a case that that whole 24-hour period is yontif. The question the Gemara asks now is, why, if the husband is a Mayrid, do we add to the Ksuba just three tapikim or three denarim per week, whereas when Isha is a Mayridis, we deduct seven denarim or tapikim per week? Why are we stricter on the wife than on the husband? Amalei. So Shmuel responded, look at the place where are women who are zoynus. Mi soiches mi. The man's needs are greater than the woman's needs. And that's why a woman who refuses to meet her husband's needs is punished more significantly. When a man is anxious to have bia and is unable to have bia, it's something that's more visible. Since it's something that's more visible, therefore, the halacha, since it's more visible, it's more embarrassing. So we just learned a very interesting halacha, that a man's situation in being unmarried is more significant than a woman's situation in being unmarried. And this is relevant l'halacha l'maisa, because we learned in Masechta Yevamos the concept of Mishum Iguna Kila Barabanan, that we learned so many times that because Chazal didn't want that this woman should be left alone, and we don't know the status of her husband, Chazal said, we tell the wife that she could get married even based on the testimony of one aid. The question is, what is going to be if our husband's wife is missing? Can we be lenient with allowing the testimony, the different situations that we've discussed in Masechta Yevamos, where Chazal were lenient, would that apply to a woman as well? And the argument could be made to a man as well. So the argument could be made that in time of Chazal, it wasn't a really relevant question. Because in the time of Chazal, men could have more than one wife. So if the status of a man's wife is unknown, he'll just marry a different woman. But nowadays that we have the Chayim Rabbeinu Gershim, so husband cannot marry another wife. So we need to determine what is the status of his missing wife. There are Paiskim that say, if our Gemara, we just learned that a man being unmarried is much more difficult for a woman being unmarried. So if we were lenient by a woman, we certainly would be lenient by a man. Says the Mishnah, Hamashas Ishtay Dei Shlish. Somebody has somebody else supporting the wife. They're not living together, but she lives in our own home. And the question that the Rishonim debate is, under what circumstances is a husband allowed to live with a wife in that way? The Ravid explains that our Mishnah is talking about a case where the husband works out of town. He's not home, and therefore but he has obligations to his wife, and that's when he has a shliach taking his care of a wife. Because, says the Rashba and the Ran, he says the Rashba and the Ran's opinion are that if the husband is at home, the husband's in the same city as his wife, it's terribly embarrassing that they don't live together, and the husband's not allowed to do it. The Yerushalmi explains that our Mishnah is referring to a situation where the wife gave the husband permission that that's the way they're going to live. But the Rambam's opinion is, no, that every husband has a right to establish, as long as he fulfills all of his obligations, then they don't have to be living together. So our Mishnah is going to identify what is the minimum that the husband has to leave for the wife. Are these shiurim said only in a case where they're not living together? Or even if they're, Baruch Hashem, living together in the same home, do the shiurim apply? Rashi seems to learn that it's only when they're not living in the same home. If they're living in the same home, these shurim aren't said. The Rebbeinu Yoina, in fact, says that if they're living in the same home, the shear is based on what he eats. When we're talking about food, whatever he eats is what he's supposed to give his wife. However, the Ram's opinion in Mishnah is that it doesn't make a difference. Even though the Mishnah is speaking about a case where they're not living together, but says the Rambam, the same halacha would apply even if they were living together. These are the shiurim. So again, says the Mishnah, Hamashus ishtay day shlish, lo yivchus lo mishnei kabin chitin, or be'arba kabin tzoyrim. He has to give her every week 2 kav of wheat, or 4 kav of tzoyrim. Am Rabbi Yossi lo pasulak tzoyrim, says Rabbi Yossi, the barley is not a conversation. The only one that speaks about barley is Rabbi Shmuel, shay samach l'edoim, he lived near Edoim. And in Edom, there was an abundance of barley. The nice law, he has to give her chatzi kav kidneys, a half a kav of beans, chatzi like shemen, a kav groigris, dried figs, a mana devela, or a mana made in norm worth of fresh, vim eloi, paisik lumas, and peres makamacher. If those fruits are not available, he has to give her other fruits. The nice law, meet up, he gives her a bed to sleep on. Mappets is a mat that was put on top of the bed. Machtzelis is straw that was put on top of the bed. For nice lekipa l'roisha, it's given a hat to wear on a head. For chago l'masnao, a belt. For menayim emayid l'mayid, she's given shoes every yontif. The shita explains that why shoes every yontif. Says the Shita, the Mishnah is referring to a situation where they live in a place where the roads are very treacherous and they ruin the shoes. And therefore, she has to get a new pair of shoes. And the right time, as we'll learn in the Gemara, is to give a jaunt of time. The Kalim, Shachamish, and Zuz, Mishana, Lashana, clothing that's worth 50 Zuz every year. Vein nice and law. We don't give her these new clothing. Those days, the clothing, as you bought them, were thicker, and then they got worn out. So to give a person new clothing in the winter is inappropriate, because to give a woman new clothing in the summer is inappropriate, because it's too heavy. And the summer, to give her old clothing, which is already worn out, also is inappropriate. Al Noisnoi, Kalim, Shal Chamishin, Zuz, B'Maisik, Shomim. The right thing is to give her new clothing in the summer, in the winter, V'Miskas, V'Lasev, B'Maisik, Chama. And she remains with those clothing through the summer. V'Shchokim, but when he buys her the new clothing, he has to let her keep Shalah, he lets her keep the old clothing. Noisnoi, and then he gives her every week more kesef letzarcha, more kesef of spending money. And they eat together every Friday night. And the way Rashi explains that they eat together because that's the time of Oina, and since that's when they're supposed to have relations, it's the right, it's appropriate that they should eat together. And as the Tres Yisrael explains, that even though the Mishnah, as we said earlier, is referring to a case where the woman agreed to live separately from the husband, the woman is not agreeable to live with the husband, to not even eat together with her husband Friday night, the night they're going to have relations. So says the Mishnah, Noisel Amel Kessel Lutzarcha, V'chel Sima Melei L'Shabbos Lei L'Shabbos, V'ein Lei Mea Kesef L'Tzarcha, but if he doesn't have the Mea Kesef of spending money to give her, Mas Yedeh Shalom. We learned that early in our Masechta, whatever a woman earns, she has to give to her husband. The wages are in the place of the support that her husband has to give to the wife. What our Mishnah is saying is, but we also learned, there's the Meiser. If she earns more than the prescribed amount, so the halach is that she has to give that to the husband, and in return, the husband gives her the small kesef of spending money. Teaches us the Mishnah, if she doesn't have if he doesn't give it a more kesef, she doesn't have to give him the earnings on top of what is the minimum amount of earning she makes every shop every week. My isula, and then now the Mishnah explains what is the amount a wife has to earn to give over to her husband on a weekly basis. Mishkel chamish shloim b'yehud shasi b'yehuda shein esar shloim b'golol. A mishkel esar shloim er b'yehuda shein mishkel shloim b'golol. Because we have the vertical threads, women wove. That's what they did. We have the vertical threads and the horizontal threads, and the horizontal threads are thicker than the vertical threads. Ha'isa manika, if she's a nursing mother, pa'ichsala m'ma'asa yada, she doesn't have to earn as much, she's busy with a baby. And on the other hand, ma'sifinala al mzaneseha, we give her more because she needs to eat for both her child and her. So the reason if she's nursing, she doesn't have to earn so much, because says the Tosfos HaRosh, that says Tosfos and the Rosh, because a woman is only obligated to work for her husband in her free time. And such a woman doesn't have free time to be able to work as much as other women, because she's busy with her baby. The Medvar Mamurim, when were all these shurim said, Bani Shav Yisrael, says the Mishnah that this is the minimum. If you have a wealthy person, we have to adjust it according to their status. Says the Gemara, our Mishnah that said that you have to give a wife every week 2 kavim of chitin. Ask the Gemara, Mani Masnisen, who is the Tan of our Mishnah? Ask the Gemara, Loi Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, Loi Rabbi Shimon. It doesn't seem to be consistent, neither with the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broicha, nor of the Rabbi Shimon. The Tanan. The Mishnah Masechta Ervin teaches us the halach of Hilchas Tchum, that once you leave your city, there are no houses, a person is only allowed to walk 2,000 amah. But if a person wants to extend the direction in which he wants, one direction they wants to walk, he could put down a Tchum Shabbat, Erev Tchumim, at the end of those 2,000 amah, and like that he'll gain another 2,000 amah. Of course, as we always say when we speak about Erev Tchumim, whatever you gain in one direction, you lose in the other direction. And the Erev Tchumim means the place where I put down the Erev Tchumim is where I will be residing for Shabbos. And the halach is that because where my food is where I am. And the question is, what is the shear of the Erev Tchumim? Says the Mishnah Masechta Ervin, that pay beis of an aleph, mazon shtei sudus kolach v'echad, the amount of 2 meals for every person that were depositing an erev tchumen for. Says the Mishnah further, mazon elachal v'loy l'shabbos devermeya. When we speak about meals, we speak about weekday meals, not Shabbos meals. Devermeya.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, on the contrary, we look at Shabbos meals for loy l'chol, and says the Gemara, v'zeh, both Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, miskaven l'hakul, are trying to be lenient. And the machlokes is, when do you put down, when do you eat more bread? Do you eat more bread on Shabbos, or do you eat more bread on weekdays? And Rashi explains that on Shabbos, people eat more bread, because on Shabbos, there are many different foods brought to the table, and with every food, you accompany it with bread. Rabbi Yehuda holds that on Shabbos, you eat less bread, because on Shabbos, there's so many other foods brought to the table, so you don't need to eat bread. Rashi, in Masechet Erevin, explains this Gemara differently. Rashi there explains that Rameya holds the on Shabbos, the food is very delicious, and therefore he eats more. And Rabbi Yehuda holds that on Shabbos there are three meals. We have to eat Shalosh Shodos on Shabbos. Since there are three meals on Shabbos, so each meal we eat less. Rabbi Neinu Chananel says, we understand Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, you're eating on Shabbos meat and fish, you need to eat less bread. And therefore, says the Tveres Yisrael, there's no, because all these pshatim, it's very difficult, ask the Tveres Yisrael, are they arguing over a fact when you eat more bread? And therefore explains the Tveres Yisrael that everybody agrees that on Shabbos, people eat more than they eat during the week. The question that he says is when we're putting down the Erev, we're putting down the Erev on Friday. But when is the Erev going to be effective? I don't need an Erev Tchum on Friday. I need an Erev Tchum on Shabbos. So Meir says the Tveres Yisrael, that since I'm putting down the Erev on Friday, the Friday meal becomes what I look at. And Rabbi Yehuda says, since I'm putting the Erev down on behalf of Shabbos, the Shabbos meal are what I look at. Rabbi Yehuda Ebraika Omer, that when we speak about these two meals, it has a shear. It has a set amount. What is that? Is that? Kika l'koach b'punyon. It's a loaf of bread that cost a punyon. Ma'abeson l'sela. When you get 4 sorn of chitin for a sela. That means that the shear of 2 meals is a loaf that's made out of a chatzi kav of wheat. And in a kav, there are 4 sudas. Rav Shimon Omer, shtei yadus l'kikar, 2/3 of a loaf, mishalosh kikus l'kav. When you get 3 loaves made out of 1 kav, that means a kikar is a third of a kav, and in a kav, there are 9 meals. Says the Gemara, this shear has relevance to a number of areas in halacha. Chetzi l'b'nayis hamnuga. A person went into a home that has a nega, has tumas negaim, and he stays the amount of time to eat half of this loaf. At that point, not only is he tamei, but even the clothing that he wears are tamei for 7 days. The chetzi chetzia, half of a half, that means half of a half of a kikar that's made out of a third of a kav, that means the shear is a 12th of a kav, lifts us a gviya. If somebody eats food that a tamei, such a person may not eat truma until he goes to the mikvah. The chatzi chatzi chatzia, that means a 24th of a kav, l'kava tumas oichlam. If somebody eats food that's tamei, he becomes tamei. If you eat less than that, you're not tamei. So now the Gemara asks, Mani, our Mishnah that says that you have to feed your wife, a husband has to give his wife 2 kav of wheat every week, that means in that there are 14 meals. There are 14 meals in the week. If according to Rabbi Yochanan Breika that says that a kav has in it 4 meals, so now if I'm giving a wife 2 kav, I'm only giving her tamne haven. I'm only giving her 8 meals. There are many more than 8 meals during the week. V'Rav Shimon, if it's following the Rav Shimon that every kav has 9 meals in it, the 2 kav has tamne sarin haven. That has 18 meals. That's too much. We only have to give her 40 meals. Answers the Gemara. We're going to explain that our Mishnah is following the opinion of Yochanan Breika. Kedam Rav Chisda, same hand, shlish lechen v'ni. When we make these calculation, we have to take out a third for the chen v'ni, for his bother, for his profit. So that means in a chatzi kav, there's three meals. Two, he takes one for himself. Hachnam Isa Tulsa, when we're counting this, we're not deducting the amount that we would normally give to the chenveni. We add to the amount that we started with. To Isa Tulsa Shadilai. So ask the still, it's not enough. If we're going to add a third to eight, Akati Tati Sari Haven, we're only going to have 12. Because whenever they count numbers, they count them labar. So even though a third of an eighth is not even three, they look at the number 12, and the number 12, a third of 12, is four. So it's only 12, and we need to have 40 meals. Says the Gemara, Echel Simoy Leil Shabbos, that she eats with him Friday night, and since she eats with him Friday night, he brings along the meal. So therefore, we can deduct from the meal. But ask the Gemara, Hanich Leman Damar, Achila Mamish. According to the opinion that Achila means in our Mishnah that they eat together, we have a way of explaining the Mishnah. Elamanda Achila. According to Manda Amar that Achila means Tashmish, when the Mishnah spoke about them being eating together Friday night, doesn't mean that they eat together. They just have Tashmish. So we're back to where we started. Michael Maimer, it's not enough meal. Void. Even if we'll say that the Mishnah says that Friday night they eat together, then Talisa Havid, she needs 13 meals. And the Mishnah, we've only been able to account, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Breika, for 12 meals. Says the Gemara, El Kedam Rav Chisda. The way to answer the question is that we had the wrong formula for figuring out what we have to give to the Chenveni. El Kedam Rav Chisda, same man, Machz L'Chenveni. The Chenveni takes as his profit and for his labor half. So if that's the case, I hachinami asapalga shadilei, put on top of the amount that we don't deduct here, six. And therefore, if that's the case, so we have enough meals. Kashtav chizda, because we have 8 plus 6 is 14. But ask the Gemara, kashtav chizda. One place of chizda says that the profit margin of the chenveni is a third. And one place it says it's a half. Loikasha. Haba ashu diyavet sivi. In a place where the one that gives the wheat gives the wood for baking, so he only takes a third for profit. Haba ashu diyavet sivi, when the baker has to provide the wood, he takes a bigger profit margin. But ask the Gemara, yachi shitzrei haven, because the husband gives two kaven. Each kav has eight meals, and why is she entitled to, if that's the case, why is she entitled to more than 14 meals? Answers the Gemara, command, this is following the opinion of Chizda, Domer, Abbasudus Chayv Adam Lech B'Shabbos, that you don't eat just three meals on Shabbos, you eat four meals on Shabbos. So that means in the course of the week, you need to have 16 meals, 12 meals for the 6 weekdays, four meals for Shabbos equals 16. But then says the Gemara, because we don't paskin like Rav Chitka, and we don't paskin that you have to have four meals every Shabbos. So it's difficult to explain that that's who our Mishnah is going according to. It says, Afil Teimer Rabbonin, Dal Chadol Orche Parchi. We take off a meal that she needs to have for guest. Says the Gemara, Hashta Dhasus Loch, Afil Teimer of Shimon. Even if we'll say that Rav Shimon holds that in two kav there are 18 meals, as we mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, and we at the beginning of the sugya, and therefore we asked how come he has to give her so many meals. L'Rabbanan dal tas l'archi parchi. According to Rabbanan, she's only entitled to 50 meals a week. Shabbos, she has to have shal shudus, but she's entitled to 50 meals, but we give her three more for the guest. Rav Chitka, dal tati l'archi parchi. According to Rav Chitka, she needs to have 60 meals, because there are four meals on Shabbos, so she needs to have 60 meals, but we give her 18 to have 2 meals for guests. So we learned in the Mishnah, Rav Yossi said the only opinion that says that a woman should get barley is Rav Yishmol, who lived in Edom. Ela ba'adam hu da'achum sa'irim. Ask the Gemara, in Edom they ate barley, but kula alma lo achli, nowhere else did they eat barley. Says the Gemara hachkama. This is what Rav Yossi meant to say. Le'pasik sa'irim keflaim pechitin, the Mishnah that indicated that the amount of barley is double the amount of wheat, is only said according to Rav Shmuel, Shayasamach L'Edom. Rav Shmuel lived near Edom, and in Edom, Neshesayim Adulis Roya said, the barley in Edom were very poor quality, and if you wanted to give barley, you had to give double the amount of barley than wheat. But people who live in other places, indeed, don't have to give double the amount of barley to equal to the wheat.